Good morning. Couple announcements this morning. The Compassion Fund collection will be on November 10th. Today is the last day. Wow. Today is the day to sign up for congregants for the Christmas supper. Are there any other announcements?
I think Community Partners, Steve mentioned that they had lost their building sold. I think they have a new place.
Good.
So that's a blessing. I believe it might be in where the cooperative's office was, kind of by the Shoppers Drug Mart, and that we call it the White Elephant Mart. Down there. Okay. So I'm not sure, but anyway, that's a blessing. But the collection goes, I think it goes to Community Partners.
Yeah.
No, it's next Sunday.
Yeah, the 10th. Any other announcements? Men's Bible Study, Tom's 7:30 on Wednesday, and Friday Bible Study, 7 o'clock here at the church, and next Sunday. Sunday school and adult Bible study at 10 and worship service at 11. Any prayer requests? We'll have it'll be Rafi reading the psalm and Jordan with the prayer and Tom with the message.
Psalm for today is Psalm 149. Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen, and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains, and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. His honor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord.
Called to do the prayer today, and I wanted to mention that we have much to be thankful for. Some of my family, we were at the United Conservative AGM this weekend, and we're thankful that what was the biggest political gathering in Canadian history in Red Deer was opened with an unapologetic Christian prayer by Vince Byfield. And it's a great privilege to live in a country where we still have the freedom that in a secular setting like that, Jesus Christ can be spoken and and the glory given to God. Naomi asked me to, I guess it's some people have designated today as a day of prayer for persecuted church, and some of you know that I have always had some concern for people around the world who don't have it as good as we do. In fact, just about everybody in the world doesn't have it as good as we do. We're, in natural terms, one of the most blessed places in the entire world, and we should always be thankful for that. And not that it's perfect, not that anywhere is perfect, but Naomi gave me a little literature here, and I just wanted to mention some of the things that Christians are facing. Places like North Korea, they estimate 60,000 Christians are imprisoned, doing hard labor, basically being worked to death for their faith. A lot of the world, Northern Africa and Middle East and Asia, people are being beaten. Their houses and churches are physically destroyed with no recourse. Places like Nigeria and other places, we see Christians are literally sold into slavery, especially young girls. This is the reality of the world we live in, and we're very blessed that we don't see these things around us, but millions, even billions of people, this is the reality they live with. So I just want everyone to consider what our brothers and sisters in faith are facing. Let us have a prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the blessings you've given us. We pray that our faith would also lead us to help, to strengthen in whatever ways we can, through prayer or through physical means, our brothers and sisters around the world. We know that there are many organizations, basically Christian organizations, who are doing what they can around the world, often on literally a shoestring of money. They seldom have enough or seldom have excess resources in that way. But we know that God doesn't need money. He calls us to obedience, and He calls us to give what we have, and we just pray that those who are believers in Jesus, that it would be very real to us, not just a social gathering where we go to church once a week and it benefits us socially or somehow in our community. We benefit ourselves that way, but the body of Christ we see is a worldwide group of those who believe in Jesus, and we're all part of one body. The Bible says, uses that analogy, and that if one part hurts, if one part is injured or in some way lacking, that the other parts will come together to strengthen those who are weaker and give protection and nourishment and whatever the weaker parts need. And I pray that we can all be strengthened through that, that it's also written that it's better to give than receive, and we can find a lot of times more satisfaction in that. We have different struggles in our society. They're not any less struggles. We struggle with Well, we all know the struggles that each of us has, which is generally not poverty and extreme need in that way, but we struggle with pride, we struggle with the ability to forget God and to think that it's our own doing that has given us the blessings we have. And pray that we would all throughout the world have humility to seek God, to humble ourselves before God in repentance and to strengthen one another and consider one another, and that the whole body could grow and be strengthened. And now let us pray that perfect prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
May the grace, mercy, and peace of God the Father and His Son be granted to you in this hour of worship through that indwelling Holy Spirit. Amen. Flint is thankful this morning that horses get out. You can ask him later. So if we can take our Bibles and turn to Psalm 139. Going to look at the psalm that was read by Rafi, and it is interesting. This is about 515 years. This is written 515 years before the birth of Christ. The fifth verse says, "Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds." They're singing a new song. They can sing a new song because they've been changed. They've been taken out of darkness and into light. They've been regenerated, and they sing a song. Their minds have been changed, their hearts have been changed, and their tendencies have been changed by the power of Christ, by the power of that Holy Spirit. Now we go to the 139th Psalm. Which was written approximately 1,048 years before the birth of Christ. If the historians got it right, but we'll read this in Jesus' name, and this is very familiar. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit? Or whither shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend up to heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall Thy hand lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from Thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to Thee. For Thou hast possessed my reins, Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from Thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more than number than the sand. When I awake, I will still be with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do I not hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am I not grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with a perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me into the way everlasting. Sanctify these words, Father, for thy word is truth. In the first verse it says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Who is pursuing who? This chapter is us knowing God's presence. God is omniscient. God is omnipresent. God is omnipotent. These are the things that King David is talking about. God knows our thoughts. And he thinks about us all the time. God gives us the ability to hate the things that he hates, evil things, and fight against them through that spirit. This is what this text is going. It's such a deep and beautiful text. So when it says, thou hast searched me and known me, what does this look like? How has he searched me and known me? Matthew, it's chapter 6. Verse 26. Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor they gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Yes, much better than they. Chapter 10 of Matthew. Chapter 10:24-31. God is humbling his servants. He's teaching us something. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master and the servant as his Lord. God lords over us. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household, household of God? Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed and hid and shall not be known. And the 139th Psalm is saying, what's alike to God? Darkness and light is alike to him. Alike. It's the same. You can't hide from him, even if you want to. He sees everything you do, evil or good. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light, and what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are more value than many sparrows. Verses 2 to basically 9, God knows your thoughts before you even receive them. Think about that. He knows your thoughts before they receive you. Receive them. Before they come to your mind, before you acknowledge them, with your conscience, He knows them. You can't escape God. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. His ways are higher than my ways. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? Why would you want to? Why would you want to flee from God's presence? Because you're guilty. Because you're a sinner. Because you're ashamed. Because you have done wrong. But the Christian knows that is impossible to flee from a God who is a jealous God that will pursue you and pursue you and pursue you until you've conformed to the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, He's there too. Even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. It's interesting they mention the right hand. Isaiah chapter 41 gives us an indication of some of this. Chapter 41 of Isaiah. But thou, Israel, are my servant, my slave. You belong to me. Jacob, whom I have chosen before the foundation of the world, the seed of Abraham, my friend, the spiritual seed of Abraham. Thou, whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, Thou art my servant or slave. I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. Why? Because I'm a jealous God and I love my own, and I will pursue them to the end. What I start, I will always finish. Because I am the potter and the clay. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. The power of His right hand. The righteousness of His Son. That was imputed to you on the day He rose again. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shalt not find them, even them that contended with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord, thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, for I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I will vanquish your enemies. I will destroy them. and I will redeem you. Back to the text. If I say, surely that darkness shall cover me, even night shall be light about me. God sees everything. Steve mentioned months back, there's a difference in the light of the sun and the moon. When we look at the sun, it's bright. We can see clearly. We can take our path. And the moon, it's a little darker, and it's not so bright, and we can't really see what we're doing. There's a difference. To God, it's the same. It's alike. He sees through the darkness as he's seeing the sun. You cannot get away with what you think you're getting away with, because God sees it. And he will put a stumbling block in your way for those who he has called, so that you will take a different road, because you are his. For thou hast possessed my reins, and thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. Here he's describing beautifully how he influences us through his Holy Spirit. I will be possessing your reins. I have covered you. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. You're secure. You're safe. I will praise thee, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You are of intrinsic value to God. You are his biggest and best creation, the bride of Christ. Holy, blameless, and pure. And that my soul knoweth right well. And if you go to the verses 17, it says, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me. O God, how great is the sum of them. Your thoughts are precious to God. All of them. Even the evil ones. Because he does something with the evil ones. Charles Spurgeon, I'll quote from him. The original signifies not only surrounding, but winnowing and sifting. The Lord judges our active life and our quiet life. He discriminates our action and our repose, and marks that in them which is good and also which is evil. There is chaff in all our wheat, and the Lord divides them with unerring precision. What is Spurgeon saying? When you have an ungodly thought, and we've had probably 100 today, it's the chaff. He separates from the wheat. He explains to you through his Spirit, that is not the thought that I want you to have. I'll show you the pure wheat. I will give you the pure grain. But I will be the one that's sifting it. But you will know what's right and wrong, what good works are and evil works. You will understand because of my Spirit. You will understand because of the knowledge and the wisdom of God that he will give you through that Spirit. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your substance, how you were made. He's not just speaking of physical, he's speaking of spiritual. Some people have tender hearts. Some people have thick skins. God knows this. God knows what will affect you and what will infect you. God allows what will affect you so that you can make right choices and wise choices. We were made from the dirt, from the dust of the ground. The most abundant elements in the human body are oxygen, carbon, hydrogen, nitrogen, calcium, and phosphorus. And they're all part of dust. There are 21 elements in the body, and there are 21 elements in dust. So if you're a scientist and you're into that, which I'm not, there's a reason for that. We are but dust. And oh, how the potter can mold dust into a saint. How precious are the thoughts unto me, O God, how great is the sum of them. Thoughts of going to school, maybe going to college, going to university, maybe getting married, having children, having a job that you can provide, having a church that can counsel, having a doctor that can heal, having friends that can support. There's so many thoughts. Trying to get ahead in the world, trying to be successful, trying to be better than somebody else, trying to look good in somebody else's eyes, trying to make more and more money, trying to have the best house and the biggest car, and the best place to live. Aren't you thankful that God gets rid of the chaff and makes you recognize what the wheat is and how important the wheat is? If I could count them, the thoughts, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. The Christian, when they wake up in the morning, the first thought that they have sometimes, the first thing when they get out of bed is, oh, God's here. Maybe there's a prayer. Maybe there's a thought of somebody else. God's speaking to me. Maybe it's a thought of, oh, I forgot to do something. It could be a lot of different things. But this is the God that created the world in 6 days. This is the God that tells the oceans to stop where they stop, aligned all the stars, made the galaxies where they are. But we are his greatest creation. A soul, a spirit, the bride of Christ. He's concerned about our thoughts. He's creating in us a way of being humble, that his ways are higher than our ways. And we mentioned this in Bible study this morning, that God is greater than us. We will not understand things the way we should. We won't. But we'll understand this. We are sealed. We are saved unto the day of redemption. Because we have a God that pursues us and loves us and has given us faith because we have grace, because we were broken, lowly, and contrite, and he will no wise cast that away. So he's changed us. How has he changed us? We've been regenerated, we've been changed. Well, surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take the name in vain. I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee. And am I not grieved with those that rise up against thee? What does the proverb say in chapter 8? Verse 13. If you're wondering what the fear of the Lord is, here's the equal sign. The fear of the Lord is equal to this. Hate evil, pride, arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. What's a froward mouth? Well, we've probably all done this. It's when you had a conversation with somebody, and you talked, and you got upset, and you were mad, and you said, I'm done with this, and you walk away from that conversation. That's a forward mouth. You don't pursue the conversation. You don't finish the conversation. You're angry. So this is what God's hating. If you go to Proverbs 6, 16 to 19, kind of gives you a little bit more of a detail of what God hates. And we've got to remember that this is something that the potter molds in the Christian. We've changed from this. So from 16 to 19 of Proverbs 6, these six things does the Lord hate, yea, seven, are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift to running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Do we sow discord among the bride of Christ? I hope not. I pray we never do. Because God hates this. I hate them with perfect hatred, the 22nd verse, and I count them my enemies. And then this beautiful last two verses. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me to way everlasting, in the everlasting. David is saying, help me. I have many enemies. I am fearful. First thing he's asking for, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me to way everlasting. I used to think this was because he had committed adultery with Bathsheba. This was written 14 years before he committed adultery with Bathsheba. God answered his prayer. Somebody mentioned in Bible study this morning that your prayer is not answered always the way you think it is. David answered, got his prayer answered 14 years later when he wrote the 51st Psalm. Now, was he asking for this? Yes. God was answering his prayer that you will be wicked. It will happen to you. You will fall, but you will be changed. And it's a beautiful prayer of Psalms here. And this is a daily thing. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. We pray that daily, because our thoughts are wicked daily. What we sometimes don't do is understand, like Spurgeon did, is that he removes the chaff. That's why it is important to recognize when Christ says, "It is finished, it is finished." God will take care of us till the end. He will pursue us. Precious are our thoughts unto him. We are fearfully and wonderfully made, and marvelous are thy works. The greatest miracle is changing a sinner into a saint. And when God does it, it is a beautiful work. In Jesus' name, let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words, and we thank you for the fact that you know our thoughts and our ways. We thank you that you are the one that removes the chaff. We thank you that we are intrinsic value to you. We thank you that we are the bride of Christ. And we thank you that you are the author and finisher of our faith. Father, without you we can do nothing. But with you we can do all things, because you strengthen us through your word, through your Son, through that Holy Spirit that guides and directs. Father, we ask that you would continue to give us strength in your word, strength in the flock, and give us the ability to die daily and be ambassadors for you in a world that is evil, as Jordan has mentioned, a world that does not like you. Father, give us the ability to stand, to fight the good fight, to defend where we need to defend, to love when we need to love, to show compassion when we need to show compassion. But most of all, we ask that you would give us the heart that says, "By the grace of God go I." For except for that grace, we would go wrongly. In Jesus' name. Now may the Lord bless thee and keep thee. He may make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. Lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let's close with 470. Thank you.
be there.